Scripture reading this morning will be in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We're reading from the New King James Version. That is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And it reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law."
Good morning.
Appreciate so much the prayers that have been offered on my behalf this morning. I appreciate you so much. And if you're visiting with us, you're our honored guest. So glad that you're here, and we hope and pray that you'll be with us any opportunity that you may have. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and verse 23, we read there the fruits of the Spirit. And we sing in our vacation Bible school. As a matter of fact, last year's vacation Bible school, our theme was the fruits of the Spirit. I want us to notice here in the King James Version, as well as the New King James, as well as the American Standard, oftentimes what we sing in that song as patience is labeled here as long-suffering. Now, I believe in this particular passage you can use either word. But as we'll see here in just a moment, they're not always the same. But as we read here together in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such, there is no law. Our purpose this morning is to concentrate mostly here upon patience. Friends, if we're going to be better tomorrow than we are today, as I hope that we are all striving to be, we need to work on our patience. I prayed for patience. I got Jensen. It's working. Galatians 5:22, the Spirit gives us what we need here, friends, to be the Christians that we need to be. The Spirit gives us a recipe, if you will, for being the Christian of the Bible. A Christian must have love. A Christian needs joy in his life. A Christian should have the peace that passes all understanding. A Christian should possess long-suffering or patience, endurance, if you will. A Christian is to be gentle. He is to be good. He is to have faith. He is to be meek. That is, he is to know of his own power, but be willing, friends, submitted unto God. And he is to be under control, temperance. But let us concentrate this morning upon patience, or steadfastness, endurance. Friends, what this means is patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It is something, friends, that has to be cultivated. It is something that needs work. A farmer doesn't go and plow a field and plant his seed and then leave it, not having to go out to work again for the rest of the spring and the summer and expect to have a harvest in the fall. He goes and he works the field. He sprays for his weeds. Sometimes he gets down on his hands and knees and he pulls those weeds. He fertilizes the seed. And if he works hard enough, his harvest will be plentiful. Friends, we are commanded, not only are we to cultivate patience, not only are we to work fulfilling our potential in this particular area, we are commanded to be patient. It is our love for God and His will that will drive us toward a complete or perfect, if you will, patience. Having the endurance that you and I need as Christians to get through day-to-day life. I want us to look at a couple of definitions, if you will. Talk about patience and long-suffering. And as I said, in some places, as here, they can be used interchangeably. But friends, the word patience, we might say, is the endurance to absorb life's daily annoyances. Now, you won't find that in Webster. That's my definition. The endurance to absorb life's daily annoyances. Let me give you an example. Sally's a first grade teacher. It was stormy last night, so the alarm clock didn't sound. She had a bad hair day. The children couldn't get out because of the rain. They're restless. They're growing more restless. They couldn't wait until 3 o'clock. Neither could she. She got them ready to dismiss at 2:45. She sorted out their boots, their hats, their coats. There's one child left. The boots are too small for her feet. There's no straps. There's no zippers. It took all of her strength to get them on. And finally, she got them on there. She breathed this huge sigh of relief, and the little boy looked at his feet, and he said, "You know what, teacher? These boots aren't mine." The teacher didn't know whether to laugh or cry, but bravely she began to take them off. It was harder to get them off than it was on. She yanked, and she pulled, and she tugged, and at last they came off. She looked at the little boy's face, and he smiled back at her and said, "These boots aren't mine. But they're my sister's and I have to wear them." So she helped him put him back on. Friends, that's patience. Colossians 3. Let's turn over there for a moment. Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at the beginning of verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 12. We're going to read through verse 17. I want you to notice what Paul says here to the Colossians. Put on, therefore. What is Paul saying? Be clothed with. Put on, therefore, he says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There's that word long-suffering again. Again, here's an instance where they can be used interchangeably. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Friends, we are to put on, we are to clothe ourselves with patience. That's just one of them. We are to clothe ourselves with patience, clothed with, we can absorb frustration like a good bath mat absorbs water, if you will, if we are clothed with patience. Friends, I understand that from time to time we can get easily frustrated. But as a Christian, we've got to be able to shake some of that stuff off. We need to be able to absorb that frustration, so to speak. That's kind of our definition there of patience. What about long suffering? I think this, we need to look at this as well, because you can look at them again as one and the same in many cases here. What about long suffering? Is it the same as patience? In Colossians chapter 1, beginning of verse 9, we read, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power," notice this, "unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Two different words used in the same context, so they can't completely mean the same thing, although they are intertwined. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:10-11. Again, we see them used in the same context. "But thou hast fully known of my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Now, our word here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 is translated in places as both long-suffering and patience. Most of the time it's translated as long-suffering. But again, it can be used as patience. Now, what about a working definition for you and I? What is long-suffering? The Bible uses, as I said, these two words separately. My definition of long-suffering would be that it is enduring the same annoyances over time. Okay, patience enduring the daily struggles of life, the daily frustrations of life. Long-suffering, ignoring, or enduring, rather, the same annoyances over time. Let me give you an example. Many of us, most of us, I would dare say this morning, are here with our spouses. There are certain things that our spouses do that we've had to get used to, aren't there? I see men shaking their head. You better be truthful. I know you wives, there are certain things you've had to get used to that we do. Leave the towels on the floor, our clothes all over the place, that type of thing. We don't put them in the right hamper. White's here, dark's here, right? You ask my wife, I'm not allowed anywhere near the laundry. There are certain things that we've had to get, snoring, reaching over and eating off of one's plate, constantly leaving the toilet seat up or down, whatever your preference might be. You're long-suffering with your spouse. Why? Because you love them. You endure those annoyances over an extended period of time. A spouse is long-suffering. A spouse that is long-suffering, will endure these painful episodes with their head held high. They'll endure them. Now, with that said, in our working definition, let's concentrate here on patience. Let me ask this, who wants patience? As a Christian, it's something that we should all desire. We all want patience. Let's look at three groups of people, if you will, that want patience. We want patience, God wants patience, and others want patience. Let's look at this together. We want to be patient, or I hope that we do. Friends, patience shows our love for God. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. American Standard says there in John 14 and verse 15, if ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. Friends, we're going to have to do that. And Paul says we must run the Christian race with what? Patience. That's obedience. That is, we're going to have to endure. Job is known as the man of the Bible of what? Patience. Why? Because he endured. All those things that came upon him. Friends, the Christian life is a life of endurance. As Paul describes it as a race, friends, what kind of race? Is it a dead sprint? Is it a 100-meter dash? That's not what it is at all. It's a marathon. It's a long race. We must run it with endurance. We must run it with patience. Patience is a demonstration that we are of God. That we can handle the daily frustrations that life throws our way. Look at 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. Look what Paul tells Timothy. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. What does he tell Timothy? Follow after this. What is that going to accomplish? It's going to show, friends, that we are of God, that we belong unto Him. Not only that, let's look at Hebrews 10 and verse 35. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. If we have patience, and we endure unto the end, we read, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of what? Reward. Look at verse 36. Here's our word. For ye have need of what? Patience. That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Go back to verse 35. What's the promise? Recompense of what? Reward. If you have patience. If you run this race with endurance. Friends, you and I, as Christians, we have control over our souls and we must work to have patience. But let me ask you this. We want patience. We need to work toward patience, toward having patience. Friends, do we not want to receive patience from God? If that's the case, should we not also be patient with others? Which we'll talk about here in a moment. We should we not? We don't want to be under a zero tolerance policy with God, do we? Now friends, I would dare say that God never really has had a what we might refer to as a zero tolerance policy. He's given men warnings. Okay? Adam and Eve, they got a second chance at life. But they were cast out of the garden. Uzzah had an opportunity to read the law. But friends, when we look at that, when you look at the sons of Korah, even though they had plenty of time to come to their senses and repent of their evil deed, what did God do to them? The earth opened up and swallowed them. Well, what about Moses striking the rock and his rebuking a Merib? Moses was told something specific to do. He didn't honor God and do it, and so he was told, "You will not enter into the land of Canaan." Friends, what if God had a zero tolerance policy with us? Where would we be? We wouldn't stand a chance. We would not stand a chance. God is a very patient God when we look at Him. When we look at His body of work, the Old and the New Testament, how patient was He with the children of Israel? Hundreds of years He bore with them, trying to bring them back to the straight and narrow, trying to bring them back to His law, time and again. Patient God. He was patient with Adam and Eve. He was patient 120 years in the time of Noah, 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. He was patient with the people. He was patient with Nineveh. Jonah went and preached an 8-word sermon. Obviously, I've already said more than 8 words, so you're not so lucky. But God is a patient God. He was patient when the children of Israel complained about food, complained about not having meat, complained about not having water. The water is too bitter to drink. He gave them all of these and more. Their clothes didn't wear out. He told them He would keep them from disease if they followed Him, Exodus 23 and verse 25. He was patient when they worshipped a golden calf. Didn't want to be. Moses kind of had to talk him into that one. But He was patient with them. Exodus 32:7-14. God was patient, as I said, with Nineveh when Jonah was called or sent to call them to repentance. He was patient with David when he sinned with Bathsheba. God was patient with Israel over their wicked kings. 1 Kings in verse 20, God delivered victory to evil Israel and King Ahab in that instance. God sent prophets to Israel even when He knew they would not turn from their ways. Jeremiah 22. In verse 21, "I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice." Jeremiah 5 and verse 21, God says, "Hear now this, O foolish people and without understanding, that have eyes and see not, that have ears and hear not." God was patient with them. God was even showing His patience when He sent them into captivity. Bring them about to the fullness of time. Friends, today our God is patient toward all of us, although we sin. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look with me at verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering." There's that word again. "Patient to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Look at Romans 9 and verse 22. Romans 9 and verse 22. "What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" Look at James 5, 7 and 8. Notice how patient God has been with us. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Why has God delayed the return of Jesus? He's patient, not willing that any should perish. Look at this. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until it receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Friends, are we not fortunate? Are we not blessed to have such a patient God? That He gives us the opportunity to repent when we have sinned. That He allows us to approach His throne in prayer. We are fortunate and blessed to serve a patient God. Then number three, others want to receive patience from us and us from them as well. Well, how do we know that? Let's look at Mark 12. Mark 12 and verse 31. Jesus has been asked. Let's go back to verse 28. Mark 12, beginning in verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. In another place, those two commandments are given, and Jesus says, the law of prophets and Moses hang on these two commandments. What's he saying? Friends, we need to have patience. Patience with others, and we desire patience of them for us. Let me ask you this. Do any of us, any one of us, want to be ridiculed when we don't understand something quickly? There are some things that you get quicker than I do. And vice versa. You want to be ridiculed every time you don't get something as quickly as I do? I know I don't want to be ridiculed every time I don't get something as quickly as you do. Do any of us want to be attacked if we disagree with someone over anything? Do any of us want to be honked at when we're having car trouble? Can't help that. Do any of us want to be badgered when we are digging for a nickel at the register? Do any of us want to be scowled at when our baby is crying? Do any of us want to be shunned because we made a mistake? Of course, the answer to all those questions is no. But friends, think about those for a moment. And I'm sure we've been guilty of any or one of all of those, or maybe even all of them, at some point or another. I know that I have. We need to have patience with others if we desire for others to have patience with us. And you think of Romans 15 and verse 4. Where the Scripture says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through what? Patience and comfort, and through comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of patience and of comfort, that Scripture says, grant you to be of the same mind one with another according to Christ Jesus. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 to 35, we see there a parable told of two slaves. The first slave is before his master. The master is requiring that his debts be paid at that time. And the slave lets him know, I don't have it. So the master says that he is to be cast away. He is to be thrown into prison until his debt, that he is to be sold, his family is to be sold, whatever the case, he's to be sold and his debt settled. Now granted, the master knows that he's not going to get near the price of what this man owes for selling he and his family. And so the servant falls down, he hits his knees, he hits the floor, and the Scripture says he worships this man. Made obeisance toward him, he kissed the hand toward him. And he begged him for forgiveness of his debt. Actually, all he did was ask for patience. He said, have patience with me and I will pay you everything that I owe. And friends, I don't know if the man realized it or not, but what he had just said to his master was impossible. This man owed a debt that he could never repay. If I've done the math correctly, the man could have worked for 12 lifetimes, assuming, we don't know how old the man was in the story, but assuming he was about 30 years old. He could have worked a lifetime, if we assume the average lifespan of the day, he could have worked 12 of those and still come up short. If he had worked every day of his life for the average wage of that time. He never could have repaid the debt that he owed. Well, the master had compassion upon him and forgave him his debt. You will imagine a blackboard that had the tally of everything this man owed the master. What the master did was pick up an eraser and he wiped that board clean. Now imagine that same servant. His slate's just been wiped clean. He goes out and he finds a man that owes him 1 month's wage. 1 month. This man could not have paid his debt in 12 lifetimes, and here's a man that owes him 1 month's wage, and he says, give me all that you owe me. And the man says, have patience with me, and then grabs him by the throat and casts him into prison. It says that he'll stay there until all that he owes is paid. All that other servant wanted was patience from his fellow servant. Of course, we know the end of the story, don't we? Some of his fellow servants went back to the master, told him what had been done, and so the unforgiving slave was brought back before the master. And he was cast into outer darkness, and there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, none of us want to end up in the shoes of the unforgiving slave. We need patience with others if we desire patience from others. Number four, and finally this morning, if we don't have patience, the absence of patience, friends, will result in sinfulness. Let's go back to the book of Colossians. Just look at chapter 3. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 7. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Friends, they had been clothed in these things before they submitted to Christ. Before they put on patience, before they put on love, before they put on joy. Before they put on the fruits of the Spirit, they were clothed in wrath. They were clothed in anger. They were clothed in malice. They were clothed in blasphemy, in filthy communication, in lying one to another. Paul says, you put that old man off. So friends, let's back up. If we're not clothed in patience, if we're not clothed in love, and not clothed in joy and meekness and gentleness and self-control, all of those fruits of the Spirit, what are we clothed in? If we don't have these things as Christians, friends, we're in dangerous water. We all know folks that are short-tempered, do we not? People who lose patience quickly and they blow up in anger. Friends, patience has to do with having a fairly long fuse. Being able to absorb life's annoyances without exploding in anger. But when we don't have patience, we don't cultivate patience, sins will run rampant. Temptations will be more abundant, and we disrobe ourselves of the patience of Christ. Paul declares, Colossians 3, 7 and 8, he declares that a life without Christ, a life without being clothed with Christ, is a life of anger. Notice what he says there. Anger, wrath, malice. Friends, all three of those things are wrapped up in anger and madness. You want to see a picture of this? Go look at the story of Cain and Abel. He acted out of anger. He acted out of malice. He acted out of wrath. Christian is not to do that. A life without Christ is a life of anger, a life of wrath, a life of malice. Without patience, we find gossip and quarrels. Without patience, we find friction and division. Without patience, we find split churches, broken marriages, and fractured friendships. Without patience, we find lots of short tempers, lots of anger, and lots of trouble. Friends, a life outside of the patience of Christ shows up in accusatory politics. It shows up in violent talk shows. It shows up in aggressive soccer moms or baseball dads. It shows up in out-of-control sports fans and players. It shows up in vengeful movies. It shows up in violent music. Any number of places. Road rage. Paul says, get rid of such things and clothe yourselves with patience. With the fruits of the Spirit. Friends, we need patience in our lives. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our psalm books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Now tonight we'll conclude our sermon concerning patience. We'll discuss our patience being tried. And four suggestions for developing patience. And how patience is not rolling over. But friends, if we're here this morning and we desire to put on Christ, we need to be aware that patience is one of those things that we put on when we put Him on. So friend, if you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, let me ask you a simple question. Do you desire to be part of His family this morning? He's waiting for your answer. He's waiting for you to walk down this aisle and make a commitment unto Him. Do you believe that He is the Son of the living God? That He died and He bled for your sins? Friend, if that's the case, will you then repent, turn your back upon the world, turn your back upon sin, give your life wholly unto Him, confess Him before men, and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. For it is there that God says you come in contact with that blood that washes away all sin. Friend, are you here this morning? Having done that, but you haven't had the patience in running the Christian race that you needed to have, and you stopped running, would you start again? Would you get back in the race by repenting of sin and coming home? Friends, if you have a need, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?